It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. He's running the show for us here today. Got a good show lined up for you. We're going to talk to Justin Haley, Cup driver. Not a great finish for him at the Coke 600 last weekend. He had an engine failure there. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on with him. He's had a couple good runs this year. Also, we're going to have the winner of the Show Me 100, Chris Ferguson, is going to join us here on the show in a little while as well. Welcome, everyone, to the show. We appreciate you tuning in each and every day. We got some pretty big news when it comes to modified racing. You know, it's a big weekend for USMTS right around here in the Kansas City area. USMTS was supposed to run Friday night at Dallas. Was it Thursday night at Dallas County, right? And Friday night at Lakeside Speedway for the Grant Youngins race out there, and the inaugural Bushwhacker race out at I-70 Speedway. All of that has been canceled for the weekend. And Austin, I know that a lot of people really enjoy USMTS, and those are three big events that they're going to be canceling this weekend. Would you say that the biggest race of the year when it comes to modified racing is the Grant Youngins race out there at Lakeside? Would you agree with that?
It's one of them. I mean, it's one of the very few that paid $20,000 to win, and I know last year they paid $10,000 to win, and they had over 90 cars, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And now you're going to double the purse, and, you know, you probably would have seen over, you know, triple digits in car counts. I mean, if it's not the biggest, it is in the top three of the biggest. I think the Fall Jamboree is up there, too. And
What's it pay, the Fall Jamboree?
I think $15,000.
You might, Mike needs to come up just a tad, maybe. All right, so go ahead. How much
does it
pay?
I think it's about $15,000.
$15,000? Yeah. So, and I was really disappointed to hear that they're going to not have the inaugural Bushwhacker race out there at I-70 Speedway. USMTS guys going out there. I know Trenton Barry was a big part of that race, as well as the one that was at Dallas County Speedway, you know, over at Racing Dirt. They're really big supporters and are presenting sponsor for USMTS. So I know they're pretty bummed out about that as well. But you've got some pictures up here. Can we show them real quick to the people that are watching the show? This is Lakeside. When was this picture taken here?
It was posted 18 hours ago.
18 hours ago. Well, if it was like that 18 hours ago, do you think there's any chance they could have got that race in?
No.
And
not a chance.
You've got the entryway. Don't you have a picture of the entryway, too, going
yes.
into the racetrack as well? And it is flooded out. There it is. That's where you enter Lakeside Speedway. So I don't think there was any chance they were going to get in. And if they tried to, Austin, it'd be just rough and rugged as heck, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you think it would be?
You would get a pack truck out there, and he wouldn't come back for a couple days. You know, I mean,
get stuck.
I mean, just look at it. I'll try and zoom in on the stream here, but if you look at under the grandstands, it's not going to work for me. So under the grandstands is the front stretch wall, and the water is level with the front stretch wall. So there's at least two or three rows of seating that's underwater. And the deal about Lakeside is all the water from the grandstands down is drained through the front stretch wall onto the front stretch. So, I mean, however much water that is sitting there, it's going to have to go somewhere. And
it's just going to roll out
work.
Onto the racetrack.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't there some holes in the wall there where the water drains off onto the front straightaway as well?
Yeah, I believe.
There's a couple of them,
you know,
there.
It seeps through there, and then there's a couple, like, you know, 6-inch, like, drainage holes, like, at getting into one and coming off of four, where the main water feed is, where they used to pump all the water out.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer for the people that are big USMTS modifieds. Again, it's fair to say, and I know Trenton hates it when I say this, but it is the world of outlaws of modified racing, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree with that?
You know, it's one of the very few and touring modified series. You know, you might have a couple regional touring modified series down in, like, in Oklahoma and Texas, but this is the one and only national touring series for modifieds. And, you know, there's nobody else like them, so you have to just go ahead and immediately think it's like the Outlaws.
Yeah. I know Trenton hates that because he hates to be compared to the World Racing Group, and I don't know why he feels that way, but I know he does feel that way. But the things that the USMTS guys do is a little unique. It's like covering up their motor. Nobody else allows modifieds to do that around the country other than USRA tracks, right? Or do USRA tracks allow them to cover up their motors like USMTS?
USRA and USMTS are the same rule package.
That's what I thought, yeah. So they can cover up their motors. That's kind of odd. It looks odd to me when I see their motors covered up like that. You think it looks a little odd? No?
I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. I don't care what a modified looks like. If I'm going to go watch a modified race, I'm just going to go be a part of it. I mean, I don't care what they got going on under the car or with their body work.
Was that car that you was driving, was that a USMTS kind of level car, was it?
The car itself was. I mean, it was a Bills built, so it's one of the best, modified cars Tyler Davis swears up and down by him, and he won a couple USMTS races this year with it. And then the motor package is one of the most popular motor packages with the USMTS. So, on a sense,
you said Kevin Thomas?
Did I say Kevin Thomas? I'm thinking of Kevin Thomas. That Tyler Davis.
I think that's what you said, yeah. Tyler Davis.
So, I mean, on a respective level, yes, it could be a USMTS car.
Yeah. Kevin Thomas and his car owner have parted ways effective immediately. Have you heard that one yet?
I have, and I was trying to look that up. It was kind of surprising to see because Kevin started to kind of pick up his pace and get comfortable in a wing car because he just made his first ever World of Outlaw main event at Lawrenceburg on Monday night. He had a really good run at Port Royal this past weekend for the Weikert. And he's from Speed Weeks in his first race with Snow Racing to now it's showing vast improvement. So I don't know. What I'll look into. I don't know why he would have left or what the issue was, or maybe it's an issue between having two cars with Boguski and the other car.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I'll look into it, but something that you probably wouldn't predict to see this year.
Who do you think is better, Kevin Thomas or Scott Boguski? Can you say, or are you willing to say, or do you want to say? Have an opinion.
No, I think with time, Kevin could be just as good as Boguski.
Yeah.
But Boguski's ran wing cars for many years.
Yeah.
So he has plenty of experience, and when he hopped into the 410, it was just like another race to him. And, and Kevin's coming from USAC, where it's a whole different world. So,
right.
I think on the USAC world, Kevin's, just as good. And, you got Scott in the wing world, where he's just as good with all the other wing drivers. I mean, it's to try and compare the two teammates together would be kind of tough, but you got to kind of understand where each one of them is at in their career.
Scott Boguski told me one time that he felt that he was a better 410 racer because of the aluminum blocks and not having the additional weight on the front of the car. He told me that he always wanted to be a 410 driver, and he felt that he was better at driving a 410 than he was a 360 because of the aluminum block, but. Am I not mistaken? If you have an aluminum block, don't you got to add weight, though?
For 360s, yes.
Yeah.
You have to add 50 pounds in front of the motor plate.
410s, they don't add anyway.
No, it's right. Just 410, they're all aluminum block motors. And you hear a lot of guys that race 360s that go into 410s always say that it's so much easier to drive when, with a 360, yes, you have plenty of power, but you're still about 200, 250 horsepower less than a 410, and it's all momentum racing. Who can keep the car the straightest? Who can keep your momentum up and not make any mistakes? And if you make a mistake, you don't have the power to save you. So that mistake might be on lap one, and you might recover from it on lap three or four, just how it affects your laps overall. Yeah. With the 410, you have 250 horsepower more. The cars drive different, and you can save yourself within a lap or two of a mistake.
Yeah.
So they're easier to drive. I mean, like I said, you got more power, and it's just the car's more forgiving on the driver.
You can get yourself out of trouble a little quicker with a 410 too. As
yes.
Well, right. Because you can get the wheel speed. You can get the wheel spin right. I mean, that's the biggest difference between a 360 and a 410, isn't it? When you get in trouble, you can get yourself out of trouble by stomping on the gas a little bit more with 410, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the 360 is just going to lug itself. I mean, it'll break the tires loose, and yes, there are times where, you know, you can be saved in a position, but the 410 will always be more forgiving than anything else.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, that's pretty big news about Kevin Thomas and his owner's parting way. That was pretty big news. Some other news around here in the Midwest, and we want to get it out there, is a racetrack down in Moberly, Missouri, was bought by Reed Millard, a late model driver. Have you raced down there at Moberly before?
I raced at the end of August of 2020 for an ASCS show.
One of your first shows. That was when you first started, right?
That was my second year in a sprint car. My first time at Moberly, So the week before, I ran Lakeside for the first time in a sprint car. So that was 2 weeks in a row I got to race on tracks bigger than 0.4 miles. So I really enjoyed it. I wish they would have, you know, more sprint car races, because they took it after 2020. They had new owners come in, and so 2021 they had a new ownership that only ran, I think, maybe one.
They've had a lot of owners down there.
They have. I think they only ran, you know, one or two sprint car shows, and I didn't get to go to them. So hopefully Reed can listen to the sprint car guys and bring us back for a couple more times next year.
But, you know, Reed's a late model guy.
I know.
Is that concerning to you a little bit, that he's a late model guy and maybe he's going to cater to the late models a little bit more than maybe the sprint cars? Because it's a great sprint car track.
When they get it right, it is. Mm-hmm. You know, they have Kevin Gundaker going to be the promoter of it. So, and look at Kevin's track at Tri-City. He brought in the ASCS last year, and he was going to have him back this year. Rain had a different idea on that. So, I mean, I definitely think there's a possibility for sprint car shows, but I think it'll be more heavy on open-wheel modifieds and late models.
I got to believe that Terry Maddox is going to try to make up maybe some of his dates and maybe get a date down there for the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour. Wouldn't you think so? Wouldn't that be a great place to take the National Tour? We used to go down there and run once in a while.
You know, I think if you worked in the schedule in September when we go race Labor Day at the lake for three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And then run over there.
Maybe run over there. And then on Thursday night after the lake, we go to Lakeside. And then I think the National Tour splits and goes to Iowa for one night. And then they come back to Lucas Oil for three nights. So, I mean, there's three weekends right there that we're racing it in central Missouri and Kansas. So, you know, maybe you could work in a show. But the biggest thing with Moberly is with all the banking in it, and then the concrete, I believe that's still under the track.
Dries out real quick.
It's hard to prep it. Yeah. I mean, when we were there, it took rubber after the heat races, and they took the feature from being 30 laps to 20 laps because of rubber.
You burned up a lot of tires.
I blew the left rear. It was that bad. So, you know, if they could figure out a way to prep the track better, and, you know, I mean, the banking is always going to be an issue. Yeah. But if there's a way you could get some more moisture in it, maybe if you rework it throughout the night, I don't know. I'm not a track guy, but I think if they can rework it a little bit more, it'll be more successful than it's been in the past couple of years.
Yeah. I think that racetrack was built maybe in the, early 90s.
Yeah, that's what I remember seeing.
I think not 92 or something like that, if I remember right. I am fortunate to say that I won that was a dirt track for many years, right? And then they turned it into a pavement track. And I won the first modified feature down there in 2000. It took a lot of pleasure. You know, it's always good to be the first winner of a race, of an event, after it's been repaved like that. And it was, you know, I took a lot of pleasure in winning that race. I beat Nate Bunnell. Old Nate that day. That was a lot of fun. It was a good race. Had a lot of good time right down there. Is the pavement still under the surface of the dirt? Do you know?
I believe it is, just because I think it was probably 7 years ago now. Dad was running a super late model up there, and there was cars and drivers seeing that there was concrete coming up through the track and hitting the cars and drivers. So, you know,
he drove a super dirt late model down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I
didn't know he did that.
2015. Hmm. So yeah, I think the pavement is still under it. Without reaching out to the Gundakers or Reed, I wouldn't be 100% on it, but I believe it's still down there.
Who'd your dad drive for that late model? Do you remember?
It'd be Mike Mize.
Oh, wow. I did not know he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, you know, you talk about the conditions in trying to pave high bank racetracks. You know, I-70 had that problem back in the day in the 80s when it was a paved track from 1980 to 87. They had a really big problem on keeping that track prepped up, and it was really rough and rugged. It's just, it's tough to do those high bank tracks.
Yeah, I mean, the water runs down somewhere. You know, the bottom's always good, but nobody, with it being so high.
And if it's really tight, too.
Yeah, I mean, if the banking is as great as Moberly is, no matter how much water and moisture's on the bottom, the top's always going to outrun it.
Yeah.
And we'll be up there long enough to burn a lane of rubber in, and that's just going to be the end of it. So, I don't know what they're going to do or what you can do to fix it, but somebody else's turn, I guess, to take a shot at it.
Yeah. Oh, before we take a break, you're going to be racing this weekend up at I-80 tomorrow night, right?
Yes.
It's going to be your first experience up there, right?
I was going to go there in 2019 with Blake, and it rained out after Motor Heat, so I didn't get to go up there and race. And so I figured with the track closing up this year, and I just kind of want to go race, you know, at more different tracks.
Say you did it.
Yeah, just say I did it. Mm-hmm. And it pays pretty good, so, you know, I like to try to be a little more versatile on my driving skills. So we'll give that a shot tomorrow night and see what it'll give us. It's be my third time on a half mile, first time in 2 years. So
that's a really fast half mile, by the way, too.
Yeah, so we'll see how I do.
Yeah, and then you're going to go down to Double X on Sunday. Is that the plans if they don't rain out?
That's the plan. I looked at the forecast this morning, and it's rain
Saturday,
much, Sunday, yeah. And Monday. I know we race on Sunday, but still, I mean, that's 3 days of straight rain, and I don't know. They tried to rain us out with the water truck last week, but we'll see if they should be all right with the rain. But
that was the water truck's problem. It wasn't because of the racetrack, right? They had an issue with the water truck.
Yeah, the water truck tried to rain us out. But,
right, yeah.
No, it's becoming one of – I went there once, and I hate to say that, you know, it's my favorite track after going there once, but I think it's one of my more favorable tracks. I just it's just unique. I mean, not very often you get to race on a tight quarter mile that has trees hanging over the backstretch wall.
Could you see yourself running down there weekly?
That's the plan.
Are you? You going to try to run there for the points, maybe?
I don't really want to do points racing, but pays, you know, over a grand to win, and you know, it's a 2 hour drive. I can get down there and not spend a whole lot of money and maybe come home with a little bit in my pocket.
Right. Well, everybody knows that was Jesse Hockett's favorite racetrack anywhere. All right, we're going to take a break because we're expecting Justin Haley to call in here at 20 after, so we're going to get our first commercial break in for the day. Remember, Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. So we're hopeful that Justin Haley will be giving us a call here in just a couple minutes. We'll be back with more of Mostly Motorsports in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
So here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us now on the show is NASCAR Cup Series driver Justin Haley. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just to give you a little history, I know your Uncle Todd Braun fairly well. I used to own an ARCA team back in the early 2000s, 2003. And I got to tell you this little story about Todd pulling me aside. They were in Kansas City with TJ Pusher. You know TJ pretty well, right? And he brought me over to the side, and I've been running this ARCA team about 4 years, and I was just about out of money. And I remember Todd taking me over to the side, and he goes, "I'm going to give you some advice right now." And I was thinking, man, he's going to give me some advice to make it as an ARCA team owner. You know, he was so successful with his team. And he looked at me right in the eyes, and he said, "Get out now." That's what he told me. Get out now. That's what Todd told me. It was probably the best advice anybody ever gave me in my life. Todd Braun, a good guy. And I know he's helped you a lot in your career as well, hadn't he?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Just talk about last weekend. Motor failure last weekend. That was kind of a bummer, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've been struggling here lately. We've had some speed, but definitely had some growing pains over at College Racing, but you know, some weeks we will have that, and then some weeks we run really well. So yeah, definitely been up and down, but you kind of see that, as you know, in a newer organization. Obviously, the Cup Series is extremely difficult to compete in. So just trying to figure out what works for us and going forward, how to be better each and every week.
But man, you've really had some good runs this year. I mean, there's some positive stuff that's going on with the team as well. I know You started third at the Busch Light Clash. I know the finish wasn't what you were wanting, but you've had some pretty good runs this year, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like I said, it's growing pains. It's not going to be good every week, and fortunately, all of our great partners and Matt Colley have given us the tools that we need to succeed. Just trying to figure out what works and what putting each puzzle piece in the right place to be successful requires. So yeah, we've had good speed here and there. Just trying to, you know, get that every week, which is, you know, the impossible task. So
right.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. I mean, it's a big step coming up from Xfinity, having a brand new team. Obviously, going to all these tracks for the first time with a next gen car, it's been tough, but yeah. It's been fun nonetheless.
Yeah, it's been probably a little bit tough. I've got a relationship with T.O. as well, Trent Owens. He first time he ever crew chief for anybody was for me in 2003 in my ARCA team. He's such a good guy, but man, he's had a tough luck with these wheels this year. How much does that affect you when T.O.'s not on the box with you?
Well, I mean, it affects us. You know, it's our guy. He's our coach. He holds the team all together. So not having him there, it's definitely been difficult. I had Chris Rice fill in last time. He's filling in this time, calling the races for us. So it's been a little better since we only have these 15-minute practices. And you really can't make these huge adjustments on the car anyway. So just kind of show up, do this, do that. But the strategy, you know, these cup races are so long that you need someone good to call the races. And Chris has done a good job with that. But, you know, obviously you miss your main guy. So
right.
It's been tough losing him. It's just been stuff that's out of our control with our pit crew. So it's difficult for sure, but we're getting through it.
Man, what a great run. You started 29th at Darlington. You ended up running third. Take us through that race. That had to be the highlight of the season so far, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and we had just come off a great run at Dover where we led laps and finished, I think, 11th. So,
it was 11th.
Mean, we qualified 29th, and I was like, man, this is probably the worst car you've given me all year. And he said, just stick with it, and that's what we did all day. And it was an opportunity races, you know, with these new cars, there's seems to be a little more issues than, you know, perhaps the last car, but it's just, you know, just issues that we don't know about yet. So just, just trying to figure it out and get comfortable. And then also just racing our own race has been the biggest thing. These cup races are so long that just trying to,
right,
you know, get clean pit stops and figure everything out. It's been, been tough. So it was a good day for sure. It was one of those days where it was like, hey, we finished third, and then it was like, all right, well, where do we go next week? So it keeps you humble.
Yeah. What has been the most difficult thing for you with the new car, adjusting as a driver, from going from the older cars, you know, to the new car? What has been the biggest adjustment for you as a driver with the 31 car?
Well, the biggest thing is these cars, you know, they just drive differently. They drive more like a truck. They're super aero sensitive racing, and they just kind of give you habits that maybe you haven't had in other racing cars before. So just trying to figure out how to make speed in the next gen car has been tough, because you can't add any tape on the grill, right? So we
right.
practice and then we qualify. But, you know, mostly when you pick up speed in qualifying, it's because you tape it off, cool it down, jack the air pressures up and go.
Right.
And now it's like, hey, well, that's exactly what you had. So you have to find it in yourself to go out there and get more speed out of the race car, because the race car's at its maximum already. So I think that's been the biggest thing. And then also just running the car hard every lap. I mean, it has a lot of grip until it doesn't. So just trying to find that limit of where we can be on balance to be the fastest.
We're visiting with Cup driver Justin Haley. He's joining us here on Mostly Motorsports, at all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. I got to ask you, do you feel that the car, the corners of the car, the wheels, when you make contact with some, do you feel like they're a little more fragile than maybe the cars of the past?
Fortunately, all my wrecks have just been big wrecks, so they're
right.
done anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't made slight contact yet, so I mean, they seem to hold up fine. You know, obviously, like I just said, it's a new car, and there's stuff that might fail that we've never even heard of before. So, car-wise, it's almost too complicated for me. They are highly sophisticated machines that drive extremely well, and yeah. That's about all we do anymore is drive. I was super big into it, running Xfinity or even the Cup car the past few years of knowing what springs and shocks and setups we had in the thing, and now it's ride height adjustments and things like that. So, it's kind of taken the – I don't even want to know what's in the car. I just want to drive it at this point.
Right.
And, definitely different.
So do you feel that this year, it seems like to me the younger guys are really excelling, and do you think there's more parity between the teams now compared to yesteryear when the dominant teams, you know, the superior teams, we all know who those people are, right? Do you feel that there's a little more parity between, say, a Colleague Racing and the Hendrick Motorsports cars? Do you feel that there's a little more parity right there?
Yeah, I mean, there's still large differences, but we right. never would have been able to run third as a new organization like that for the money we spend, right, and how we're doing things. So, you know, the big things now are people who you've got working on it, the pit crews, which are ginormous. I mean, that is the best piece of the pie there is, right? I mean, it's definitely key. And then also is the motors, right? What kind of motor you have in that thing and who's building them. So there's still three large keys that you have to have right, but you know, I would say 75% of it is taken care of now, just buying the pieces from NASCAR and putting them together.
Yeah. I want to step back a little bit. How much advice do you get from Todd? Does he still give you a little advice along the way?
No, not necessarily. Especially not on race weekends. I'll probably hear from him once a month. He'll shoot me a quick text, probably something not even about racing, but
yeah.
Obviously, you know, going up through the ranks, he was crucial to helping me, you know, figure out the next contract and figuring out, just, you know, shaking hands with people and allowing me to meet people. Obviously he had so many connections and still does. So, that was super helpful.
Yeah. So what are you thinking about this weekend coming up? How do you feel your chances are?
Oh, well, I mean, I would say they're about the same as they are every weekend. There's 1 in 36.
Right. I get it.
I think we'll be fine. I've been here before. I know the track. I've won here before in the Truck Series. So it's at least somewhere I'm at least, you know, I've been and comfortable with, so it's not going to be completely new, but I just want a solid weekend. We caught on fire 3 times at Kansas. We didn't make the All-Star race, and then we blew a motor up last weekend. So we've had 3 bad weeks. I just want to go out there and get a solid run this weekend.
Yeah. Talk about the characteristics of that racetrack at Gateway. Just talk about the differences on the corners and the different ends. There's a lot of technique that goes involved in that racetrack, isn't there?
Yeah, for sure. And with the next-gen car, we're going to be shifting on both ends every lap. So probably going to be going from fifth to third and turns 1 and 2 and then going down to fourth gear and 3 and 4. So that adds another factor into it. I mean, we were shifting all day at Martinsville. We shifted 1,000-something times. So the next-gen car has definitely been – trickier at the shorter racetracks, but I think Gateway races really well with how you kind of have to enter one high and run a big arc. So be curious on that, and then also curious about what kind of resin they put down and how much or if they do so at all. So lots of things to kind of figure out and work through throughout the weekend.
My producer, Austin O'Neill's got a question for you here. Austin?
Do you feel like racing your UMP Modified has helped you adapt to the new next-gen car faster than previous years?
I would say the UMP Modified just makes me mad every time I go race it. Those guys are so good. There's so many good dirt racers that I race against every single week. When I show up, I just want to make the feature. And it's incredible. And so many good guys don't. It's so stacked. So the level of competitiveness, and when you get to a dirt race, I mean, you fire off and you qualify. It's hot lap qualifying, as they say. Yeah. And you put yourself in a heat race. So I go to these dirt tracks over the Midwest, right? And my first laps on track are qualifying, and it's against the 40 best modified racers up there. So definitely is not hurting.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of unique. It used to be that none of the car owners would allow their drivers to go run a dirt car on the weekend. Now it seems like everybody's opened up the door and allowing their drivers to go over there and run dirt races. We see Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell doing it. We see a lot of guys doing it, like yourself, UMP Modifieds. It's a little bit different than years past, isn't it? It seems like whatever Kyle Larson did opened up the eyes of some of these owners, and they're allowing some of their drivers to go out and do some of these other duties. What do you think about all that?
Well, fortunately enough for me, Matt Colley and Chris Rice, team president, and then also Lee Filter have been, they love when I go, and they have since I came over, right? So,
right.
I love dirt racing. I think that a lot of people do it, and I'm very particular on the races I go do and things like that. I just don't want to show up to some random show and who I go race with and what series I'm with. So, I don't know if racing five nights a week or four nights a week plus the cup car is needed, but definitely once every few weeks just to keep your mind and everything into it is definitely helpful.
You know, we did the broadcast for the Chili Bowl for 16 years here at Racing Boys. And have you ever thought about going down there and trying to run the Chili Bowl in a midget? You ever thought about that?
No, I haven't.
No.
I mean, I did the Tulsa Shootout forever, ran right. pretty good in it. And obviously, you think about running the Chili Bowl, but it's
so tough.
I don't know. It's probably a little too much for me. I do like my vacation time when the off season starts. Like,
yeah.
You aren't it's going to be hard to get me in a race car after Phoenix to Daytona, but
right.
from Daytona to Phoenix, I'm all game.
Yeah. Well, Justin, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products at Works. Thanks so much. Good luck to you this weekend down at Gateway, and we hope that you have a good finish for you this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Justin Haley joining us. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back with more right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Reno. 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos, a beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities, a large pool for relaxation and families, the Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill, great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is the winner of the Show Me 100 down at Lucas Oil Speedway, Chris Ferguson. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, I bet you are doing great. That was a heck of a payday last weekend, wasn't it, bud? Hello?
I just now realized I was on mute. Sorry about that, guys.
That's okay. That's quite all right. Big payday there last weekend, man. That always feels good to put that kind of cash in your pocket, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%, man. I'm just very, very thankful to be in the situation and win that race and really just kind of have that moment in my career where I finally grab a big crown jewel, you know?
Yeah. Man, there's not many of those kind of races that pay that kind of money. Talk about your thoughts going into that race. I know that you had a little luck along the way, but just kind of take us through that Show Me 100 race and just give us your thought process as you were racing through that deal.
Well, you know, 100-lap races nowadays, there's two ways you can approach them. You can really, you know, go all out and kind of live and die by driving hard and fast, and the way I've kind of raced them in the last few years where I've actually had a little bit of success, you know, kind of be slow and steady and methodical. And I knew starting 10th I was going to have a little bit of work to do, but 100 laps is plenty of time,
right?
Especially when you have a good race car. So just, I really took my time the first, I don't know, the first half of the race. You know, a couple guys got by me, Bobby Pierce, Ricky Thornton. And it wasn't like they just drove around me. It's just they kind of got up on the fence and ripped around on the cushion. And something that I just wasn't comfortable with doing the first half of the race. So, but I was able to maintain. And then as soon as the top gave away and you really had to start racing on the bottom three quarters of the track, that's whenever we just started picking them off, and then slowly but surely worked our way up and got to third, second, and then took the lead there with about 12 to go. And then the last 12 laps, you know, put 3 seconds on them. So it was really methodical, but a lot of fun in the driver's seat.
Yeah. What did you feel about Jonathan Davenport and his issue that he had there? Did you feel that you had enough for him?
Well, you know, in my opinion, what he did wasn't dirty.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we were just kind of going for the win there. And truth be told, I ran third to Chris Madden and him at Charlotte at a 50,000 win show literally a month ago. And Chris did the same thing. Chris kind of passed him with 5 laps to go or so. And you know, you hate to lose him like that, but it happens. Yeah. And, you know, I think Jonathan was just desperate to win. And, you know, with him, he got held up behind the lap car.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that the lap car was doing anything wrong. It's just I think JD kind of got a little bit complacent running the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the first one that kind of, you know, eased out there around the middle, and I found a line, and I was able to get to him without showing it to him, and then take advantage, and then, you know, we got going down the backstretch there, and I don't know, I was past him out of two, so I knew going into three I had the position, but, you know, after listening to the interview and everything, and listening to what JD had to say, and, you know, I think he was just trying to wrecked the lap car to get a spot back because they revert back to the last lap, and
yeah,
it didn't pan out. And fortunately, I didn't get crashed in it, so that would have been a real bummer if we would have got wrecked. But
yeah,
it all worked out pretty good.
Yeah, it worked out well for you, man. The world of dirt late model racing is so crazy right now with all these big money races. I was going through the points. I don't see you running for points anywhere. Are you just going to chase the dollar this year? Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much all we've done. We've unloaded for a few races that are the smallest race we've unloaded for is roughly 10,000, but like the other ones have been all 50s and 25s and just kind of running an independent schedule. I've only raced 14 races this year, so. You know, we've won 250,000s and ran second and third in some 50s and, you know, won more money than I ever have in my entire career just by running good at the right time. So,
yeah,
it just makes sense to chase the money, you know?
Yeah, there's so many different races out there to run. You know, you got the XR Series, you got the Lucas Oil 8 Model Series, the World of Outlaws. Maybe I'm going to put you on the spot here, but which one of those series do you think is the toughest of those groups?
Well, right now, you know, if you look at XR,
yeah,
you know, it's got two, in my opinion, two of the top three guys in the country right now. Well, actually, three of the top four. You got Davenport, Chris Madden, Brandon Overton, and then you have guys like Brandon Shepherd has raced some with them. But then you have Dale McDowell, Scott Bloomquist, and then Shane Clanton ran all of them, Kyle Bronson. So you have guys that's ran Lucas Oil and World of Outlaws that's ran all the XR races. So
right
now the XR has probably the most, I mean, it's the most depth right now, but,
right.
You know, with it being kind of a mini series, you know, it's a little bit different than the touring deal because you don't have to, you know, you don't have to. Well, luckily, like Ricky Weiss and Shepherd and all of them other guys, they've been able to race the majority of the races. Like, we haven't had one race that intercepted with Lucas Oil. So there's been some Lucas Oil regulars run XR the whole time. So I think it's just a product of it being less races on the schedule. That's why they got basically the best drivers that show up every week.
I don't know if there's ever been a better year than this year for the money that's out there to win. Would you agree with me on that one? Is this the best year we've ever seen in dirt late model racing when it comes to the dollars out there available?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It's out there. The purse has got increased this year. start money at a lot of races has went up. You know, them races that we've been racing, like the Show Me 100 paid $2,000 to start. That's the highest it's ever started.
Right.
It's paid to start. The XR races pay $2,500 to start. The it's just there's so much money out there, and it's just it's kind of crazy, but you know, all we can do is enjoy it and go out there and try to win it while it's out there, you know?
Yeah. We're visiting with Chris Ferguson. I got to ask you, where'd you get your start? Where'd you start racing at when you started as, I don't know when that was, but can you kind of give us a little background of how you started? Did you start in a modified or where'd you start?
So I started racing go-karts. My dad raced, and I started racing go-karts when he was still racing. He was just kind of racing locally. In the lower divisions, four cylinders and stuff like that. And then my uncles raced late models. But I started racing go-karts when my dad was still racing and when I was 13 years old. And I raced that for a couple years, won Daytona, won a couple national championships, a couple state championships, and some big money races. And then when I turned 16, I went straight from a go-kart to a 604 crate late model.
Oh, wow.
And, really kind of grew up racing in the Cherokee Speedway, Carolina Speedway, hub around Charlotte of dirt tracks.
Yeah.
You know, Fayetteville, Friendship, Elkin, a lot of places like that. And eventually racing crate late models long enough, you know, two or three years, I finally got opportunity to drive. Someone helped us out with the motor and was able to jump into super late models right around 08. And then more seriously in 09.
Yeah. Well, you know, I traveled with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for 13 years doing their broadcast. But I'm telling you, I sit here in this studio and I watch all the late model races, and I'm getting sold on the late model side of things right now because it's so impressive with all the quality of drivers that are running all three of those series right now. I just don't think there's ever been a better time in late model racing myself. I'm really intrigued by it, and I know that picking up that money last weekend, what's that do for a team like yourself when you go out there and you win 50 grand? What is it like for a team? How much does that help your budget for the year?
Oh, it's night and day difference. You know, we own everything ourselves, and these – you know, engines cost $45,000, rebuilds are, you know, 10 grand or so. And same thing with tires and fuel, and everybody knows the cost of what it just costs to go racing in general. But then, you know, the upkeep, for us, it just gives us a little bit of relief. Well, actually a lot of relief, but you know, the sport's kind of crazy. You know, one thing it can go your way, and then the next week you're struggling. And but I know for, you know, right now I don't owe anything on any of my motors right now. I don't owe anything on race cars or tires or fuel, and we got a little bit of money in the bank, and that's just something that I, you know, for a small family-owned team,
yeah,
it makes a world of difference. I have two complete race cars for the first time in a while, and got a trailer that's stock full of parts, and I'm able to go race the correct way, which, you know, when you're kind of a smaller budget team,
right,
sometimes you have to, you know, make adjustments and race a little different than you would hope for. But right now we're able to kind of not have to do that and focus on getting better and winning without having to worry about paying bills that may come up.
Yeah. I don't know if it's on your schedule or not, but the Lucas Oil Late Model Series is going to be going to I-70 Speedway. Are you going to be out there for that race?
I'm not exactly sure yet. Typically speaking, I know where I'm going about a month in advance, and I know the Eldora Millions next week.
Yeah.
And then they have a $50,000 to win in 2 weeks at Smoky Mountain and a few other big races, but we kind of race based off of how we're running and also logistically what makes sense. So there's always a chance that I'm going to pop up and race somewhere. So
right.
I wouldn't count it out yet.
Yeah. Well, with the price of fuel, it's real important to kind of draw out a map to where you're going to go, because with the cost of motel rooms, the price of fuel, and I got to say it, they're gouging us on these tires right now, it seems like right now. They're charging way more than they should be charging. I don't know if they're doing that in the late model side of things, but I know they are in the sprint car side of things. They're jabbing you a little extra on the tires. You really got to pay attention to your budget when you're a small team like yourself, right?
Yeah, for sure. We, you know, we kind of we do plan a little bit ahead on these deals, because naturally, if you're going to go race with the best in the country, you have to be prepared. Yeah. So fortunately, I'm able to, you know, figure out what the tire rules are, and I'll order stuff, you know, a couple weeks in advance. But with that being said, you know, you also, you had to pick your races and what makes sense. And, you know, with the cost of fuel, that's our big thing. We're looking more now at what start money is.
Right.
At, for these races compared to, you know, what they pay to win. Like, it's just, you know, yes, you want to win, but worst case scenario, you get in the show and you have an off night or something, you're still going to collect $2,000 to start, you know, and that covers your fuel. So, but there's a lot of races that pay $10,000 to win and pay $400 to start.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things you just have to pick and choose and really make sure that logistically it makes sense with the cost of everything. And really not only that, but like another thing that's kind of unspoken that people don't really talk about is, you know, I haven't really tested much this year. I've kind of just raced. But the budget for burning up tires to go test is just, it's tough to do that.
Right.
It's tough to make sense, you know, and you got to figure out stuff at the racetrack when you're racing instead of going to go test.
Are you a little concerned about the tires when we get into the heat of the summer? I know that we've talked to Mike Mahler. He's been on our show a few times with us. I know he's got concern about that. Are you a little worried about when we get into the heat of the summer, when we get into July and August, that we're going to have enough tires?
Yeah, I think I think we're going to be okay as far as having tires, but unfortunately, I think we're at the hand of a lot of other people where they're going to tell us what tires to run where,
right,
and what they're selling. So there's going to be times where we're running tires that don't make sense, and we've been battling that for a while now. But you know, we went to races where they said, oh, we're going to run this right rear tire now because they don't have the normal tire we run,
right,
and all of a sudden we're fighting a battle against a tire that we never raced before that no one's, and then you're having to battle the tire with everything that you've learned to do. You know, and then also with as much money and as much racing out there is, even though, you know, I think we're going to be okay, in the back of my mind, you still do think, hey, are we going to run into being able to get tires? And there's a lot of racing. You know, this is the first year for dirt late models basically ever besides the Summer Nationals where they have a Monday, Tuesday race, Wednesday race.
Right.
And our sport's not really accustomed to that. It's not. So there's definitely more racing out there. So at the end of the day, you have to worry about tires.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Chris, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show. Congratulations on the Show Me 100 win, man. That's a big one. I'm sure there's more in your future. Go out there and win some of those big money races and cash in on those deals, okay?
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right, not a problem. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate you. All right, there you have it. Chris Ferguson joining us here on the show. What'd you get out of that interview right there, Austin? Anything?
I didn't realize he was that small of a team.
I didn't either.
You know, you think as just a generic,
because you can relate to that.
Well, I can relate to that.
Yeah,
a lot of other people can too. But you know, just as a generic, you know, late model fan, you look at them at, you know, teams that run with like Lucas Oil or the Outlaws or XR, and you're like, oh, they have, you know, plenty of cars or motors or whatever they have stockpiled. They can do it for a while. And
yeah,
you know, he's only ran 14 times this year, where teams have ran almost, you know, 30. So, and then to kind of hear how his you know, how that, you know, anytime you win money, it's going to help you no matter what. But to kind of see
50K especially.
Yeah. So kind of see how it helps you, you know, internally and all that. Something that, you know, a normal fan doesn't get to see is always good to hear. But he's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah. It was good to have him on the show. We want to thank Justin Haley for being on as well, and Chris Ferguson. So a good show today. I didn't see as many comments today. That's right. I got to do that, don't I? I haven't done it yet. Here, hold on. I unplugged my headset. I can't hear myself, and that is annoying, to be honest with you.
Get to the last 5 minutes of the show, and we're already struggling.
I know it. Struggling bad. I don't know if you guys, we've been talking about it a lot here on Mostly Motorsports, that they've got the new track tribute, Ascot Park, that was in Gardena, California. It is going through October 1st, and you can go in there and check it out. They got a lot of cool stuff about sprint cars that ran out there. They've got information about the drivers that drove there. They've got memorabilia that you can buy up in the store up in front. It's a great time to go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out right now, folks, because Ascot Park is one of the legendary tracks of all time in this country. So go up there and check it out. And don't forget, the truck race is going to be visiting Knoxville Raceway on June 18th. What's that, a couple weeks away, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks away.
2 weeks away. So if you want to go to the truck race, they've got second floor seating available for $80, and it's on the second floor. And again, I've talked about this many times. If you go into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and you buy an $80 ticket to sit on the second floor, it's one of the best seats in the house at Knoxville Raceway, folks. I'm telling you, it is a great view of watching the cars come through the corner, going down the back straightaway. It's a unique view. So if you want to go up there and watch the NASCAR truck race at Knoxville Raceway on June 18th, you can buy you a ticket for $80 and sit on the second floor. That's where I sit. I go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum when I go up there and watch the races. It's the best seat in the house, folks. I promise that you need to go up there and check it out. Also, don't forget, they've got the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they're going to have the drawing on up there at the Knoxville Nationals on August 13th. You can purchase a ticket to win that Corvette at CorvetteC8RContest.com. That's CorvetteC8RContest.com. It's one of 1,000 Corvettes, folks. There's not many of these cars. I found one online the other day for sale for $150,000. $150,000. So if you win the car, you can turn around and sell it for about $150,000. Wouldn't that be nice, Austin? Wouldn't you like to win that Corvette and then just sell it and take that $150,000 and put that towards your sprint car team? Would you do that, or would you keep the vet?
I don't know. I mean,
sell.
It's a rare car, and you know, win a car for, I think, a ticket's $20. It'd be a tough choice to give up a car that you won for $20.
The value of that car will only go up.
Yeah, you might hang on to it for 10 more years, and it might be worth $200,000 to $300,000.
Right. So. Yeah. Might be the way to go.
Might put some miles on it before that.
How many miles would you put on it?
Zero.
No, you just let it sit in the garage? You wouldn't put any miles on it?
No. Resale value.
Yeah, well, I get it. All right, well, folks, thanks for tuning in to Mostly Motorsports. Again, I want to thank Austin O'Neill for being such great help here on the show each and every day. My partner, Kirk Elliott, hanging out with us here in the studio as well. We're going to do it all again tomorrow. Is tomorrow Friday? Tomorrow is Phone Friday, and we hope that we have a lot of listeners call in on the show. We might give away some T-shirts, some koozies, some stickers, whatnot. So check us out tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. It's Mostly Motorsports, and it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time.
the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.